Food shedding. We're also talking about education, and Marianne writes in and says, when I referred to Cyril Ramaphosa in the State of the Nation address talking about providing tablets to kids in public schools, Marianne asks, how are we going to charge those tablets? We're battling with load shedding. And Marianne, yeah, that's what I want to talk about. Let's talk about the basics in education. On the line is Roan McFarlane, who's the co-head of research at Equal Education. Roan, thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, and good afternoon to your listeners.
Let's talk about the basics in education. What was your reaction in the State of the Nation address when we have very progressive policies? We're talking about robotics, we're talking about coding, we're talking about tablets. What was your reaction when the president made those announcements?
You know, we were actually relieved to see afterwards, when the budget was tabled a couple of weeks later, that despite the president going on about these tablets, it didn't seem to follow through in the national budget allocations. Because while all of these things sound quite exciting, research really doesn't support that providing every learner with a tablet is the magic trick to fixing education. In fact, the research confirms that there aren't magic tricks, and that what really is necessary is hard work to build a capable state, to train teachers, to ensure that we have good functioning schools. And one cannot help but wonder whether, you know, an announcement like dishing out tablets isn't just a cheap electioneering tactic to be seen to be doing something to fix education, when actually the things needed to fix education aren't shiny new promises. They're getting the basics right, and we haven't been able to do that. And until we are able to get those basics right, we shouldn't be distracted by politicians' promises, you know, for quick fixes.
Talking about the basics, about the norms and standards law, a court has ordered our education minister to amend that norms and standards law. Can you just explain what that means?
So the norms and standards is a law that Equal Education fought very hard for, and it's a law that sets out what the minimum infrastructure standards are that every school should meet. So it says, for instance, that every school must have so many toilets for this amount of learners. It says what material schools should be built of. It says things like schools should have sports fields and libraries and all of those resources. And then it also sets deadlines by when government must achieve those, must provide those infrastructure to schools. And the first deadline was actually the 29th of November 2016. By that deadline, the law says that all schools made of inappropriate material, such as zinc, wood, mud, and asbestos, must have been replaced, and that all schools have some access to water, sanitation, and electricity. The law also says that plain pit toilets are illegal and so don't count as a form of sanitation. And unfortunately, the Department of Basic Education is still trying to meet that deadline, which passed almost 2.5 years ago. And one cannot help but feel despondent when something as basic as electricity supply to a school, or having enough decent and safe toilets for learners to use, it's still the kind of basic things we're trying to get right.
We know that pit latrines certainly hit the headlines with the death of very young learners. What's the situation with pit latrine toilets at the moment?
It's an incredibly sad thing that we've had learners who are at school trying to access their basic right to education have to die in such an incredibly devastating way. And the department's response to those incidences have been so disappointing. We still have almost 4,000 schools across the country that only have access to latrines. We have around 3,000 schools where new sanitation has been provided, but old toilets haven't been demolished. And that's a big issue because often those old structures become dilapidated and they are exactly the structures that are dangerous for learners. And what's just been incredibly disappointing is the one of the cases where that flowed from these incidents was the very the case of Michael Kumate. The Department of Basic Education and the Limpopo Department of Education were instructed by the court to come up with a plan to address the sanitation crisis in the province. And the plan that they produced was wholly inadequate and didn't even make any plans to cordon off, to identify and cordon off dangerous structures. And this came in the aftermath of a learner dying because of unsafe structures. You know, that type of disregard for the urgency of the situation and doing the basics, you know, the basics of just cordoning off unsafe structures is just unacceptable. And we shouldn't let the department get away with that type of negligence.
What kind of pressure is Equal Education putting on the department at the moment?
Well, I mean, a big pressure point that we put on the minister recently is that we went back to court to even further tighten the norms and standards law. It had a couple of loopholes that allowed the minister to indefinitely delay fixing schools. And the court, the Eastern Cape High Court filed in Equal Education's favor. The minister then wanted to appeal the appeal that court ruling, but the Constitutional Court dismissed the appeal, saying that it had no chance of success. And so that's been an incredibly important victory for Equal Education. We're also continuing to put pressure on the department to now implement that ruling, which means they have to change aspects of the norms and standards law. And they also have to do things like following that court order, like publish the provincial infrastructure plans and progress reports. And we're monitoring and analyzing those reports. We're putting pressure on government to publicly release them, which is what they have to do following the court case, and which they haven't done. The latest reports were due on the 29th of November last year, and we still haven't received them. So we've been writing to the minister to ask her to make this public, and we'll be continuing to put pressure on her to do that. We also continue to visit schools on the ground and to bring their cases to provincial education departments and make sure that issues that schools face are addressed by those departments.
And Rowan, if people out there are listening and they feel strongly about this cause, how can they lend their support?
You know, I think that there are so many small things that we can do to make a contribution, whether that is identifying aspects of school infrastructure at our local school that are illegal and raising that with district departments or provincial government, or whether it's supporting a school in whatever way, with whatever, you know, capacity one has. It's a thing that not a lot of people know, but it's possible to volunteer to serve on a school governing body to assist schools with capacity in that way. There are so many ways to be involved. If there is a particular case at a school, people can also reach out to Equal Education or the Equal Education Law Center to follow up on those issues. But really, on the one hand, it's government's responsibility, but all of us can also play a role in really making sure that every learner in South Africa has access to decent education.
Rowan, thank you so much for your input this afternoon. Rowan McFarlane from Equal Education, talking there about providing the basics in our public school, the basics. If you're just tuning in, we're going to be talking about education throughout the show. Coming up after the news, a platform called YouStudent that assesses kids' talents and tries to plot a path to success. And just after 4 o'clock, a mom of eight, who has homeschooled all of her children. And she says her family is stronger because of it, and her children are getting the best possible education.